All right, you are tuned in. Day one in the A10. Let's do a little bit of a roll call since we have to familiarize the people. We're Sean Bednard right here.
We're all Sean.
Man talking, we're all Sean. right to my left, because that makes sense, we got Matt Courtney. That's going to have to be something you're going to have to remember because we got two Matts.
Let's hey, guys.
Around, so it's not two Matts in a row.
Okay, so across from Matt, we've got Justin Gore. We're probably just going to refer to him as Gore throughout the course of this podcast.
How's it going, guys?
Right next to Gore, we've got Nick Peel.
Nobody's listening to this, so hey, people.
And right and next to Nick, we have Matt Feinauer.
Did I bring down the room? I'm sorry,
just
guys.
Just a little bit.
Good start. We won't restart. We're going on.
All right. I guess we're going right at it.
We've successfully been here for roughly a week and a couple of days now, and Not too surprising, we have had quite a few stories to bring to you guys over the course of this podcast.
Where do we even start, honestly? Where do we start?
Obviously, we start with how we all came together.
Mm-hmm. All right.
How we brought us together. Me, Matt, Nick, and Justin are four high school friends.
Wait, who's Justin?
Who have now... It's Gore.
It's Gore.
God, well, come together since high school, and now we're in our junior year of college, and somehow, some way, all made it back into the same room.
Bay City Western!
And now we've got Sean.
Yeah! Not Bay City Western!
Let's go, Davidson!
Yeah, that's the life. And here we all are, sitting in our living room, and Matt says, "Podcast! Assemble!" And we're like, are we doing this? Because we've been trying to do this for about 3 or 4 days now, at least.
Yeah, in every sense of the word, I have assumed that we are just the Avengers, and so every time I yell assemble, we have to conglomerate in one area.
Roommates Assemble didn't catch on as quickly.
It worked once out of the, like, six times that I tried it.
We were thinking pizza. Pizza didn't happen.
That's unfortunate. I wasn't here for any of that, so that's...
Yeah, Nick's not going to
really live here.
No, he's not going to play much of a part in any of these first few
he's
stories.
He's more of a special guest that
we're happy he's
here.
Hurtful.
Wow. So... our first day here, we're all moving in, we're all excited. Granted, it's like 93 degrees, but we're doing great. It's nice and hot, we're excited to have our first apartment, and, well, who would have thought? No electricity. Turns out there was a secret email, and it wasn't the email that was secret, it was the contents of the email that were kept a secret, that you were supposed to have your electricity set on a day for them to start it 2 weeks in advance. So we send Nick and Matt Feinauer,
which, by the way, wasn't a good idea.
That's the most unlikely team.
To the leasing office, and they say, yeah, we're probably not going to have power till Tuesday. Well, that's not going to work. So I call them up, and they say, yeah, we'll get you set up. So I'm on the phone with them. They're like, yeah, we're going to send someone out. They send me a confirmation email, and they said between 8 a.m. and midnight. So we're like, okay, well, he's going to come out.
It's not broad at all. And
not at all.
No.
It's only like, what,
14 hey, guys, you'll probably get your electricity turned on today. But...
if not, go home.
So we all went through the course of the events of the day, you know, getting stuff from the store, moving stuff in, and we pretty much all kind of come home. Matt was gone, but we all kind of got home about 9 o'clock. Still no power. So I call once again, and I say, hey, I don't know what's going on. I called about 8 hours ago, and I'm trying to figure out we don't have our power yet, and they said they were going to send somebody out. And he says, yep, you should be all good. I said, no, our power's definitely not on. He said, nope, we have your account activated. You're all good with power. So I say, I don't know. There's no power. We can't turn any of the lights on. He's like, well, did you check your breakers? So downstairs, Gore and Matt heard the word breakers, and they say it's in Gore's room. They rush right in. We open the breaker box. They're all off, and that's about the gist of it. We turn them all on. And we're all just screaming in a bloody rage. I don't even want to talk to the guy on the phone. I just want to hang up on him immediately.
See, now all of this is after everybody's gone except for Matt and I. And Matt and I just sit in the living room alone with no power playing Monopoly. So we're like, oh, what do we do here? Obviously, we go out and grab a 12-pack to play Monopoly.
Of course.
Fantastic idea, right? Yeah. Then so what happens next? Sean's parents come. The utter look of disappointment that we received upon them entering was just phenomenal.
Did not even see a single can until my mom takes me outside and says, who's drinking those beers? I'm like, what beers?
I honestly don't know if they'd be more disappointed that we were drinking or that it was two people playing Monopoly in a dark apartment.
I'm going with Monopoly, sad guys. Picture that you can. That was us.
Yeah. Sweaty too. Sweaty.
100%. Absolutely. Just a terrible, terrible sequence of events, and you know, I wouldn't have had it any other way for the first day.
Yeah. Well, guys, I like to point out that while you guys were sweating in our living room, I was at home in very nice, cool air conditioning.
Ah, see, that's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, like, I love you guys.
I would also like to point out I was in it way longer than any of you.
Yeah.
At least 10
that
hours.
That also makes you that much stupider for not turning on the burgers.
Ooh. You want a ribbon, Matt?
Calling out shots.
I'd like a cookie.
But guys, silver lining through it all. Calvin Johnson's going to be on the next season of Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
So perfect. It's okay.
Is that like breaking news?
Well,
you heard it here first, folks.
You heard it here first a week later.
I don't know. Somebody just tweeted something, and I just figured being on Twitter during that story was obviously the way to go.
So the question becomes, who in the A1 and the A10 is going to be the first one on Dancing with the Stars?
I'm probably you.
Me?
To be honest. Wow. You're clearly the most outgoing. I want to get to why later, but I feel like we got some fillers before
that. I think
that.
We need to have an A1 in the A10, you know, Dancing with the Stars.
Like with each other?
Well, you know, we can figure out logistics later.
Outdoor is my partner.
Okay, well.
No, we're the stars, and we get fans of, like, all three people that are going to watch this.
First, we
still want to dance with Gore.
Oh. When do we get our parking lot show? It's actually from, like, season 2.
Oh, parking lot.
Oh, yeah. So welcome weekend went even better for Matt and Matt. They were out all of an hour and a half, and immediately Matt Feinauer calls me not once but twice and says, I need help. What's going on? I need help. And then he immediately hangs up. He actually called Gore and I. And then Matt calls me, Matt Courtney, and says, disregard everything that Matt says going forward. Only listen to when I call you. So I'm like, okay. So me and Gore go rolling around Main Street just to check out everybody. We get called out by this one drunk girl. She's like, slow down your car, loser. And it only brought me more questions. If I was a loser because I was driving, if I was a loser because I was driving too fast, or if I was a loser because I wasn't driving her. And I never got that question answered.
All the above.
All of the above. More likely than not. But we finally get back. We're just talking in the living room like we are right now. And immediately I get another call from Matt Feinauer. And he says, I need help. I'm like, stop calling me. And he said, no, I actually need help this time. So I'm like, okay, where are you at? He's like, I don't want to tell you there's cops. I'm like, you're 21 and I'm driving. He's like, I know, but I'm just scared.
I don't remember any of this. Yeah.
So I'm like, well, where are you? He's like, I don't know. There's a lot of cops, so I don't know if you want to come out. I'm like, again, you're 21. So I tell him, read any of the signs. He's like, Bellows and Maine. I'm like, okay, I'll be there in a second.
That's how he says Bellows, too.
Bellows.
So we get back in the car. We drive over that way. I drive past him once, and Matt calls me. He said, where are you? And I said, I'm driving to Bellows and Maine to pick up Matt. He said, yes, I know. I'm with him. And I said, oh, okay. I said, stand blatantly on the corner of Bellows and Main. I said, okay. We hang up. I turn around. And they're hidden in, like, a crowd. And he's, like, waving me down. I'm like, that was not blatant at all. They get in the car.
I forgot to shoot my flare gun off my
head. Of course. Well, maybe, like, even standing on the corner.
There's a crowd of people. What did you want us to do?
Not be in the crowd of people.
Start maybe a brawl. Go to the other side of the street or something.
But anyway, we get back. And Matt Feinauer collapses on the staircase. Matt Courtney collapses on the floor. They immediately both blame Gore and I for the night's failures. And we immediately turn it around and break down all of their hopes and dreams. And they cry on the staircase. Not real crying, but just that kind
it was probably
drunken
real
sob. Matt finds his way back onto the floor. And he says the iconic line that will forever haunt the A-10. Somebody grab me another beer. Hurry.
Beer, the best medicine for beer.
The price. Somebody got me another beer.
I did. I haven't cracked it open.
You did not need another one.
What are roommates for, though?
Yeah.
But anyway, also from that night, we clearly didn't learn anything from Wayside because we were just – we might as well be mute, honestly.
We
said zero words to zero girls. That's not true. You talked to your ex-girlfriend.
Damn it.
I'm sorry. My fault. Matt's a player.
Oh, okay. Okay, so because I talked to my ex-girlfriend the one night that we were out, so what does Matt do the next day? Oh, I don't know. Bring his ex-girlfriend over. It's good to know that the two girls that we could talk to.
How many people were planning to come over that day?
There's supposed to be four people coming over. Ended up with the two I was most not supposed to actually have come over. Like, everyone's like, don't have these two over. So and naturally, said, I picked those two to come over. And yeah.
Moral of the story, we're not good at things.
No, we're very bad at things. As a room collectively. I mean,
it's been over 3 years. I just don't know.
But of everything that we're bad at, Nick is the worst at living in the apartment that he lives in.
100%.
Absolutely terrible.
Words hurt, guys.
Terrible.
Nick, I'm good at other things.
Like Mario Kart.
He's good at being away from us.
You're good at bringing things to the apartment that you're not using.
Yeah. But one thing Nick is amazing at is Mario Kart,
for
sure.
Oh, man. It's not even fun to play with Nick because of how good he is.
God, he gets blue shells and like lightning and holds on to him because he's a smart player.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up. But
for two races.
Well, I'll say this. Nick may not be the best at Mario Kart.
But he is the worst.
But he is the worst. We gave him a lap and a half to win the race on Dry Dry Desert. We're talking about Mario Kart Double Dash for the GameCube, by the way.
2003.
Yeah, there you go. We gave him a lap and a half. So he was halfway to finishing that second lap.
It was three or four.
And then Gore came out from his room. Feinauer and me started the race with Gore as well. And Nick came in second place.
Barely. He had it.
Barely.
He had it.
He did.
I only beat him by like half a second.
Yeah.
Can I defend myself?
No.
No.
Okay. Great. Okay.
Good talk.
I'm going to defend myself anyway. So first of all, the GameCube controllers were slippery, I'd like to admit. And then second of all, it hurts my thumbs.
Oh, poor Nick.
We'll look back on this and then say, wow.
Well, you know what else?
We were bad back then.
Matt looked at me this morning and he said, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to set up the cable box. God. It is almost 11 o'clock.
Damn it.
The podcast is happening. The cable box is still in the closet. The shoe closet that has almost no shoes in it compared to the floor next to the door.
All we have to do is open the door and put the shoes in.
All we have to do is plug in the cable box.
All we have to do is sit in front of the living room table and talk. These simple things are not easy for us.
We're not good at
I mean, you had to set up the equipment.
That took a second.
Now it's Gore with your random sports news. The Cowboys and Broncos are engaged in Mark Sanchez trade talks.
Why would anyone want Mark Sanchez?
They have Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
he is the next great thing. If we've learned anything from Lions preseasons, they mean absolutely nothing. 0-16.
Hey, I went to one of those preseason games that year. They looked fantastic. They beat the Browns and everything.
So wait, do they look fantastic because they beat the Browns? Or do they look fantastic and beat the Browns?
In your random NBA news, it's August 29th and J.R. Smith is still a free agent.
Really?
Could Pistons afford J.R. Smith? Do Pistons want J.R. Smith?
That would be
a
double negative.
He is a cancer.
I don't want J.R. Smith personally.
What is J.R.
I would love J.R.
Smith. None of us can shoot, though.
J.R.
Smith can shoot sometimes.
J.R. Smith jersey. 100%.
Why would you get a J.R.
Smith
jersey? You can be on the team for 2 years at most.
It's great because you can buy a discount Josh Smith jersey, and then you have your J.R. Smith jersey.
Well, if they have the same number. Josh Smith was six.
You just get it before the season starts. And then if he changes his
number. I honestly take full blame for the Josh Smith thing. Because I was like, you know who the Pistons should get? I was telling my friend Brandon, Josh Smith. And then like a week later, they got Josh Smith. And I thought everything was going to be perfect forever.
See, you know. He had his nights on FanDuel, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes,
he was a stats sheet stuffer, so he was a great fantasy pickup. But as far as winning
games. I really can't wait for NFL season to start for FanDuel.
I've now moved over to DraftKings.
I played DraftKings last year, too.
I have
really
switched sides for the number one thing of no kicker. The amount of times that I've had kickers miss field goals or miss extra points now, because that's apparently impossible, just like in Madden, that it just crushes me when my whole team does good and then I lose because my kicker puts up 2 points.
See, I just love the user-friendliness of FanDuel.
Yeah. I know.
Like, DraftKings, it's just...
It's technically
weird. Yeah. It's too muddy down.
It's weird. It's a lot different. FanDuel is very simple, and I've won a lot of money on FanDuel, and I've lost everything I have. Yeah,
didn't you win like over $1,000?
Yes, I did. NBA season. I was telling Sean that story the other day.
And then you called.
Remember that time that I was currently
number three in like a, what was it, a $10 or $25 one?
It was a $25 with first place being a trip to Vegas. I was in third place at $25,000. And then I think I ended up winning like 80.
Can I put this on the table just to kind of turn the tide of the podcast? What are your guys' thoughts on the Colin Kaepernick situation? I want to honestly hear what you guys think about it.
It's honestly terrible, I think, personally.
Why?
I get where he's coming from, but if you're in a country, you respect its culture.
Mm-hmm. See, I think I speak for most of America and a lot of the personalities. Whoa, like, bold. That, I get what he's trying to do. I just don't respect the way that he's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier, too. I'm glad that he's standing up for what he believes in. 100%. If you feel something, if you feel you're being oppressed or something, stand up for what your rights are. Stand up for what you believe in. But on this exact thing, as an American who loves living in this country, who loves what it stands for or at least stood for, I think he's completely off base.
It's given him everything he has, this country. Yeah. I don't see why he couldn't at least just stand.
I mean, I will gladly take his $119 million away from him, and he can go stand up for whatever he wants,
then
whatever
fashion.
He can go
hit the country as much as he wants.
Yeah, go for it. You know, but if you're not one of them who's been oppressed or is dealing with these issues, you're so off base with your argument and what you're trying to do. I respect him for trying to use his platform because obviously, you know, being an NFL quarterback, he's got a lot more coverage than most. But there's just so much of a respect factor that is just being lost because of the fashion in which he's doing it.
Yeah. Now, something that I saw that was going around Twitter quite a bit, it started off like this. Kaepernick, he obviously did not stand during the national anthem, said his comments. He's picking up negative traction, obviously, from a lot of media personalities, standard Americans, a lot of veterans, of course. But he's gaining a lot of positive traction with a lot of minority players in the NFL. I know a number of Eagles players have said they will also not be standing up during the national anthem.
Really?
Yeah.
I have not seen a single person back him.
Okay.
I've seen numerous people say, you know what, hey, if you want to do that, that's fine. But I don't like what you're doing. Yeah, I don't like that you're disrespecting our country in that way. Do I, you know?
I don't even know if this is the right word, but almost becomes they're spoiled in some way.
Yeah.
Because it's not happening to them. They have everything they could want, and this country gave it to them. And they're, like, I seriously, don't get me wrong. Like, I get why he'd be doing it.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be doing it that way. There's other ways to get his message out there.
A lot of people criticized him for doing this. They said, you're not going to stand during the national anthem, but what are you actually doing? Are you standing with protest groups? Are you donating to charities that are helping these protest groups, that are helping like people in Louisiana who were attacked by the floods and everything? What are you actually doing besides just raising awareness, which is great. If you have a message and you have his platform, by all means, stand up for that. But there has to be substance. There has to be substance to what you're doing, because otherwise you're just saying empty words.
The one thing that I would like to say on this topic is, I don't know if anyone saw the clip of the pole vaulter in the Olympics for America who was running full speed and the national anthem got turned on and he went to a dead stop. Because it's our national anthem and it's what you do.
Yeah.
How are you going to disrespect your country and everyone who fights for the freedom we have? It's not even like I get what he's trying to stand up for, but that's not the right platform to do it on. It's not the right scenario, because the reason why we salute our country is for everyone who's fought for us and why we're free. So why is he bringing something that isn't about our American flag to the table?
Now, anyone who knows Matt and I will know that Courtney. We pretty much do not stop talking about anything at any time ever. When we were in D.C. this past summer, I mean, a lot of the day when we were visiting a lot of the monuments, a lot of the memorials and everything, it was dead silence. It's a very humbling experience to know what happened at these places. Like, even just going to the Lincoln Memorial, reading what he has, which are written on the walls, going to the war memorials and everything.
Yeah, did you guys go to the Unknown Soldier?
We did, and that was...
That was intense.
That was hard-hitting.
Like, from two guys who will sit and argue about anything under the sun... Literally convinced one of our roommates our freshman year that the human body can be referred to as a water gun.
For all intents and purposes.
Yes. It was so elaborate. And
why, though? Why did you need to convince
him? It took a while to actually come up with our thesis of how we were going to go for it.
Sorry, I don't want to change topics. Yeah.
But, you know, we ended up sitting at the foot of the Washington Monument, overlooking the reflecting pool and the Lincoln Memorial, sat there for a good hour just
taking it all in.
It was absolutely incredible. And for him to go out of his way to disrespect, you know, it felt like he was disrespecting the whole country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to be an American.
Yeah.
And
I'm not always proud of the choices that America makes and some of the people that we elect to higher positions who decide what America does.
But there's a reason people want to move here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, has our stature fallen over the years? Of course, you know, and a lot of other countries have developed well. But people want to come to America because, you know, we're number one.
Yep.
We are the best.
That's exactly why people hate America, but...
Yeah.
Like, Canada's number two. I don't know. You almost can't even tell exactly what it is, but, like, there's just something special about living in America that we're, like, if you went to, like, France or Britain or any of the – sorry, any of them, it would not be the same.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you can't go to McDonald's and get a 50-piece chicken nugget and drive down the road and get a hot and ready pizza.
Exactly.
That's just, what we're all
that's
about.
That's America.
I mean, this is the greatest country on earth. No doubt about it. And the history, what people fight for and have fought for to make sure that we have our rights, for Kaepernick to be able to do what he did, it's very humbling to know where we've came from and where we're going as a country. And I hope that just the American dream can continue to live on and, you know, things like racism, sexism, things like that,
they
start to die down more like they started to. But it seems like, especially with the things that are going on in the socio-political atmosphere, it just seems like you're getting the worst of both sides.
One of my big issues with this country is there are many people who believe that this is a Christian country.
Yeah.
And by all means, you have every right to, you know, practice your religion, but this is not a Christian country. We weren't founded under, you know, a certain religion, and we shouldn't be poised to make laws that oppress people based on one religion.
You should chant, we were founded under a certain religion. We shouldn't be anymore.
No, we weren't. We were founded as a place where you could practice your own religion. We were founded, you know, it says one nation under God.
That doesn't inherently mean
Christian.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, personally, I observe... I'm a Catholic, so I believe it in that sense. That doesn't mean that every single person that signed that was a Christian-believing person. I'm sure you're getting agnostics in there. I'm sure you're getting atheists in there. That doesn't – just because it says one thing does not mean, oh, well, that's the one that I believe in. That means everybody should believe in that one as well, and that's the rules that we should live under. And separation of church and state is such a big thing. And it's being stepped on and pushed over so many times more. And you're getting these outrages like, oh, football coach suspended 3 games for praying before a game. Are you a Christian school? No. So can you pray before a game to just one religion? No. You're not a Christian school. If you want to do that, take your Christian players and go pray with them. But do it off campus. Do it before the game. Once you're on the campus... Once you're at the school, you observe the state rules for the education, and you do not cross that tape. If you do, You're asking for trouble.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a Lutheran, so I'm. Who's all Christian in this group?
Christian.
I'm raising my hand, yeah.
I prefer to identify as an agnostic.
That's fair. I don't really care.
So, I mean, I'm not going to say that there isn't a God, and I'm not going to tell you not to believe in one.
Flying spaghetti monster.
I don't know. It just seems like, even me as a Christian sometimes go, this story is ridiculous. But then I think of...
I'm not a huge fan of organized religion.
I don't know. I think of the Big Bang stuff. I was like, that's also ridiculous. This is all ridiculous.
The one thing that I want to add that bothers me the most is because we're a country made off of immigrants. Like, everyone here is an immigrant. But the thing that bothers me the most is, like, everything that we've done for the past however many years has been so much better in, like, almost every sense. Like, obviously some things are better in other countries, but for like us, we've pretty much been on top of the world. So it just bothers me that we have to make different regulations and rules and even laws for different religions. Like, our country's never had a problem to the extent of people practicing different religions. But when it comes to the point of we have to make a law because some people are doing something else, just to allow them to have the religion, just let them do it. Because that's what we've always been doing. And there was never a problem with it before.
Yeah, and obviously you're going to get those who bring up the radical Islam argument. Which, okay, yes, does it happen? Of course it happens. And it gets blown out of proportion by the media. Because what happened in Oklahoma City in the 90s, the worst terrorism attack until 9/11 was performed by a Christian extremist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens with all religions. It's not just based on Islam. However, those are the ones that get brought out more because it scares people.
It's different than what we're used to with our norms here because everyone wants to think that we are a Christian nation. So therefore, anything that seems even just a tweak different, we're like, oh, I really don't like that. I don't like that. It scares me.
I agree. Which, I got another topic I might save for another time. Transgender bathrooms.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to take this because this seems so absolutely just idiotic to me.
Go for it.
Because of the fact, like, obviously there do need to be some set standards for who can go into a male and female bathroom because obviously I, as a straight male, don't want my 7-year-old daughter going into a bathroom and being recorded by some strange male identifying as a woman. However, understand that those who are transgender have been using their bathroom of choice ever since they changed. And nobody's had an issue with it. And you haven't had issues of males or females recording, people of the opposite sex.
It's more like, what about the people they're not officially transgender yet because they just identify as the other sex? I still think that's okay. It. Yeah, the serious ones, that's okay. It's just really hard. How do you know when someone's being real about it or when some idiot's being a pervert?
That's obviously where the line needs to be drawn, and there can't be a black and white line. It's always forever going to be gray. But you can't outright say, you can, like with North Carolina, they're 100% against it, and it's obviously causing them a lot of backlash, getting the NBA All-Star game removed, and a lot of film companies have pulled out of North Carolina because they don't want to give North Carolina that revenue to a state that's being oppressive. However, even like I said before, those who identify as a different gender and carry themselves, identifying as a male or female, most of the time look the part and aren't going to be questioned. And if they do, all they want to do is go to the bathroom. Yeah. Like, it shouldn't be that difficult.
I really think LGBT, transgender, all of them, it's kind of – because, like, in the last 5-10 years, that's we hear a lot about it, like gays, all them, like there's a big movement to for equal rights. It's kind of like the next racism, because it took a really long time to, we didn't even fix it. It got better. Still working on it. This is going to take a really long time. It will not be fixed in the next year, but I'm glad we're doing it. That's another reason America's great. We are working on the racism. We're working on this.
What do you think, Nick?
I'm taking it all in. I mean, if you read our Twitter bio, on the A1 and the A10, I'd give a little plug there. It says, A1 and the A10 is a podcast focusing on the hard-hitting issues others won't discuss because nothing says reliable information like five dudes in college.
And holding strong to that mission statement right from the first episode.
Yeah, don't take anything we say to heart.
Yeah.
Take what you want.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's five guys sitting in a room giving their opinions, each one of us with some varying degree of difference in the opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, but if you can't bring people together to talk about issues and actually be able to hash them out without any sort of violence, where can you get?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you'll just end up where we are currently as a country with being so split, you know, one side or the other on issues and never being able to get anything done.
Yeah. This is about the business aspect of it, though, because I wanted to bring this up because I worked at Target, so I knew it was happening before, like, it was on the news and stuff, because everyone knows Target was, like, the first one to say they're doing it.
Yeah.
I believe in the transgender bathroom. I think it's an incredibly stupid decision for a business that large.
Yeah.
It's
risky.
Big businesses should not pick a side on political issues. Like they should not strongly pick one side or the other. They should stay neutral until there's a change.
Yeah.
Because like Target, before I left or got fired, whatever you want to call it.
Fired.
The news about the transgender bathroom got out by then. Our sales dropped so bad. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we don't know why. I was like, I can
almost picture
tell you why, because we're like one of the busiest times of the year and nothing's happening. And just everyone's hours got cut. It affected everyone that works at Target. Like I said, I believe in the transgender bathroom. Terrible business decision for that big of a company to do that, though.
But going back to that, I agree with what you're saying. But I think it might be a necessary risk because you need those early adapters, those people who are going to get on board and say, hey, we support you, because that's exactly how the same-sex marriage thing actually became a thing, where we could be in a country where it's completely legalized in all 50 states. You needed those businesses. You needed those higher-speaking celebrities, people like athletes, people like big TV shows that said, hey, we support same-sex marriage. Because once people like that and companies like that start saying, we actively support it, people are going to catch right on, because everyone is more of followers in this country. And once they believe that the person that they're following is believing in that, they can feel that it can be easier for them to follow along with it. And then their mind starts to just make it a little easier. And that's one of the reasons that I think as a business decision, Target did take a big risk. And obviously, like you said, they had backlash from it both on the economic side and on the conservative side, I suppose you could say. But if they don't do it, who's going to do it?
Sure. Right. And see, for me, obviously, you know, spending the last 6 months working for Disney, there was a lot of news and a lot of things that came out of there, especially with the Orlando Pulse shooting.
Yeah.
You know, that happened 15 minutes from my apartment, and I didn't directly know anybody involved. However, I had friends who had really good friends who were killed that night. It took a lot out of that community, but Disney is a place where the LGBT community feels comfortable. They can go, they can express their views, they can express themselves in any way, shape, or form that they want to and not feel judged. So, you know, Disney didn't necessarily take a side in that matter. However, they know their role in the LGBT community. Yeah, you know, we held a memorial service for the victims at the park, and we were almost full capacity that day. It was nothing big that we did. However, just the fact that we stepped out and made the effort to go out of the way to try and bring the community again together. It was a really special thing to be a part of. And it was really neat to see the community come together after such a horrific event. You know, so a big company stepping in and taking reign of their, you know, worldwide, their reach gets so far, and they stand for something, and it really helps bring to light the issue, and that, you know, hey, if we're okay with it, you should be too.
It's true. I mean, you gotta give Target great respect too, because they had to have known. They're too big and they have too many professionals not to know that it was probably gonna hurt their business, but they took the side anyway, which you gotta respect it. But
I mean, there's, and no matter what, you know, you're always gonna have two sides to a coin. You know, you're always gonna have somebody who goes against.
Sometimes it'll be tails, six times.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Always gonna have one side versus the other. It's all about finding the happy medium. Yeah, you know, does that mean having a, you know, going back to the bathroom thing, does that mean having a male/female single bathroom that a transgender can go and use to make everybody, you know, more comfortable? You know, you obviously don't want to set them apart.
I was going to say, I think it's unneeded, because then it's, you're just segregating them again.
Well, I mean, but tell me there isn't that comfort factor that if you see male, female bathrooms, and then you see like a family restroom, and you're like, ah, I can go in here by myself.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you mark it as a family restroom, but.
Yeah, you know, but should places be required to have a companion restroom? As, you know, they're sometimes referred to as also just somewhere that, you know, somebody can go for, you know, if they don't feel comfortable using either.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We don't – you really just need a, like, majority acceptance of it for a few years, really. Because, like, kids, they don't know what – they get what they believe from the older generation.
And from their parents
a lot. Kids know nothing about race.
Yep.
They know nothing about LGBT.
Yeah.
They accept everybody. Yeah. They are so freaking innocent. If we can just get like a majority acceptance for like 10 years,
like
the kids,
I'm telling you,
generation would be fine.
With most of our social issues nowadays, just give us 20 years. 20 years, then most of the baby boomer generation will have died off, and you won't have to deal with them anymore.
Yeah.
And they, no offense, I mean, I love my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, those who are a part of that generation. However, they are by far the most oppressive group of people left on this planet. And without them, we're going to have a lot of social change in this country that I think will be welcomed. Because, you know, if you talk to most college kids, you know, everybody's roughly, you know, the same in that, yeah, you know, you can
really open-minded.
Just do what you want. Like, I don't, as long as it doesn't hurt me, like, physically, I don't really care.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like the overlying majority of the opinions, like you said, of college students and just people who are millennials, as they are so unaffectionately coined. And a lot of people always want to say that we're the politically correct generation, and they throw that around like it's some negative thing. But so much good social change has happened because of people like us, because of people like millennials, who have been pushing to make these issues that were so taboo, like gay marriage, like things like that, like transgender bathrooms, that were so, oh, we can't talk about that, just swept under the rug. We've made those changes where those can be things that can be openly talked about, discussed, brought to light, and have something done about them.
Now, see, there's absolutely nothing more that gets me going than the millennial conversation. Mm-hmm. The
like
conversation
sexually?
That, wow.
Gets you going sexually?
Wow.
Wow. A1 of the 810 after dark.
There's five college kids.
Oh, because we get blamed for literally everything. We're so soft because we needed participation medals in our, you know, sporting events. Okay, were we the coaches? Were we the ones who said, "Oh yeah, let's give them medals"? Literally every single problem that the generation above us has with us was caused by them.
Yeah, they created it.
We're victims of a just awful generation ahead of us.
I would say that going along with that, our generation, even the generation like below us, so like little kids now, obviously they're still little kids, so they're very open-minded, but you can already tell that people make their own decisions about things, not like they did in the past. Like just a simple thing of playing sports, when to keep playing, when to quit. Do I want to work at this job? Do I want to do this? Just a simple thing that back in the day it was your parents told you you were working there. You were doing this.
Right.
We're so much more open-minded that, like you were saying, in 20 years, a lot of the issues will be passing.
Yeah, there is no more you graduate high school and you go work for GM for the rest of your life, which I am thrilled about because, you know, if I would have spent my life
– Matt, we're not car guys. Let's lay that on the table right now.
Just a couple of car guys. Just five car guys sitting around
the table. Crazy 60-some NASCAR veteran woman with no teeth change a headlight for us outside of Orlando. We're not car guys.
I think we're excited you don't have to work for GM.
Yeah. Probably a good thing for all parties involved. But the fact that, you know, if you don't go to college, you're a failure. However, to go to college, you have to put yourself tens of thousands of dollars in debt because the generations above us have inflated college so much. Now it's a debt sentence that you can't get out of. You know, it's a lose-lose situation for us in any regard. I mean, obviously, you know, they push you to go into the STEM fields, you know, but not everybody's cut out for science, technology, engineering, or math. I mean, I don't know, you know, I know you guys. You guys sure as hell know me. I don't math.
No.
I don't science. I don't do any of that.
I couldn't engineer a perfect sandwich. I messed up making peanut butter and jellies. I put too much peanut butter and then it just gets stuck to the roof.
Oh, there's never too much peanut butter.
Oh, never too much cold glass of milk. Oh, God. See,
when you start choking, that's too much peanut butter.
No. I'm not a huge jelly fan.
When you start choking, it's just enough.
I just eat a peanut butter sandwich.
Yep. Yeah? Yep.
Really? I like a little bit of jelly. Just because I don't like the...
What kind of jelly, though?
Do you put butter on your peanut butter sandwich?
No, that's not a bad idea.
Wait, butter?
Yep. Put butter on the bread and then put your peanut butter on. Or and jelly,
but
too.
But do you guys put butter on your pulled pork before you warm it up back in the microwave after it's leftovers?
I just eat it cold.
I haven't done that. It'd be okay. Butter on stuff is
good.
Butter
on everything.
I can respect that. I can respect
America.
That.
America.
Speaking of America, to completely change the topic. 100%. Now, don't get me wrong how I'm starting this. Okay. It's about the idea. So, our two presidential candidates. Sorry.
I'm so far behind in politics.
America's changed.
Our two presidential candidates. Now, I don't even want to talk about Hillary Clinton. And I don't want to talk about Donald Trump as the person, because everyone has their own opinion on the type of person he is. I want to talk about his ideas.
Oh, boy.
So just not even like his face behind the ideas, just the ideas in general.
Okay.
I don't think they're as bad. Not okay. Majority of them suck. Not all are as bad as people make it out to be with these killer memes and shit.
See, I'll just leave it at this. I personally am more afraid of what Hillary Clinton has done than what Donald Trump has said.
Yeah, she's basically murdered people, got people
killed. For all intents and purposes. But I don't like the prospect.
Sorry to Hillary supporters. I don't like either of them. I'm sorry.
I don't like the prospect of living under a country that's run by either of them.
I don't either.
Why didn't Mitt Romney run?
All right, see, you guys are going the wrong
Paul
direction.
Paul Ryan run?
Yeah. Wrong direction. Like, this is not the direction I wanted
back
to start.
Back.
This is your topic.
Okay. I want to go on building a wall.
That's the bad one.
See.
No, but hang on. Let me say my point first.
Let it finish.
Okay, so there was a story a while back now, a really long time ago, probably a couple months, that there was people protesting Donald Trump, and there was a Mexican kid, 16 years old, wearing Make America Great Again, which is Donald Trump's thing. And these adults, like grown people, were tearing this kid apart, swearing at him, telling him that. And this is what he had to say back. He said, if you don't want to live here, you can leave. The wall would not be for people who are legal citizens. It's to keep out all the people that are illegals and drugs.
Yeah.
It's true.
That takes away so many problems that we don't even know that happen, but they affect our country.
Everyone wants to talk about illegal immigrants and migrant workers, people who jump the border. But what they don't understand is people like Donald Trump at a lot of his businesses, a lot of his American-run businesses that are in the States, a lot of his workers are illegal immigrants. How can I take his wall proposal seriously when a lot of the people that he's employing are those exact people that he wants to push out? It just is very hard for me to be able to drink that water when he's murking it up as much as he is.
But if he is taking out those illegal immigrants, think of all the people that don't have jobs that he would be giving jobs.
But on the same page, the reason that these illegal immigrants, these migrant workers, whatever you want to call them, are taking those jobs is because they're not taken. We as Americans have a very high sense of pride in the work that we do. The jobs that they're working for pennies on the dollar are garbage jobs. Let's lay it out on the table. People like us don't want to work those jobs. They will risk their life to come over and work those jobs. And the people that want them out of this country are the exact same people that are hiring them for those jobs, for picking the rice in their field, for cleaning up their garbage on the streets, for mowing their lawns. Things like that.
But on the other hand, it makes things a lot more difficult for those who are trying to get into our country legally. Mm-hmm. I mean, those who have done everything by the books their entire lives that want to move here and spend the rest of their lives here can't. It takes 10 years to get a visa to come over here and live. And, I mean, hell, the only way to get here is through a green card.
Baseball. Baseball, for sure. I've got a good story about that.
And Nixon.
All right. I love baseball, by the way.
Actually, on the green card story, I know that, especially with Cuban baseball players, obviously we all know that once they leave Cuba, they are barred from returning back. But the inside information on that is it's as soon as they touch on any American soil. So, you know, a lot of Cuban players will go to Haiti or Mexico, Dominican Republic, and fly back over. But there's a good story about a Los Angeles Dodgers signee who is actually no longer in baseball, where he actually only signed with the Dodgers because they gave him the longest visa. Mm-hmm. So there are other teams who were looking at him. You know, they were going to give him a one-year visa, but the Dodgers gave him a two-year visa. So, you know, that's something to say.
Wild card. Want to jump in?
Okay, regarding the visa, because I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to touch on that. The idea of the wall is not a bad one, in principle.
You know, both Hillary Clinton and Obama voted to build, to build a fence, not a wall, along the Mexican-American border not too long ago. You know, both voted for this same idea, but until Trump got so radical about it, they were like, oh no, see, we can't do that. You know, so it becomes a very touchy subject.
Obviously, people who aren't in this country legally, it's a red flag. You don't want people who don't live here to work here, and you don't want people who don't live here to live here. You can't keep track of them. They're not under your taxes. They're not under the umbrella of the same American worker privileges and rights. So the question becomes, do we completely block out pretty much anyone via a wall per se, or do we just kind of grant a easier way of getting work visas and for longer amounts of time? Because I've seen that argument thrown at both the Trump and Clinton campaigns before.
I was going to say, Trump's handling it wrong, but at least he wants to do something. Something had to change. Mm-hmm. He's not changing it in the right way, I don't think. It's too far. But, something had to change. At least Trump's doing it, which brings me to what Sean, would you rather Trump or Hillary? I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you. I'm just asking.
Neither.
Neither is definitely where I'd go.
Neither can't be
one.
I know
neither can't be.
Third party, I guess, could be one, but no, that will never work.
Yeah, I know. Gary Johnson is someone that I've supported for actually quite a while, ever since the whole Bernie Sanders campaign. That's another thing. The thing is, Trump has plans. He hasn't exactly specified how those plans are going to work out, but he has plans. And he's going to be someone who's so radically different that he wants to put those in place, and it's going to make people very uncomfortable. And it's made me uncomfortable. But at least he wants to do something instead of the stalemate that we've been in for not 8 years like people want to say, not 16 years, but it seems like for the past 20 years. I mean, you can talk a little bit about Bill Clinton and things that he was able to do with surplus, but it was kind of just more the thing of, ooh, technology is exploding right now. Congress and the presidency have been in such a stalemate, such a warlock, that almost nothing has actually been done. So the Trump campaign, I can see where its strong points are. It's just how radical he actually is that is both a pro and a con. A lot of people say, oh, you put Hillary in office, you're going to have 4 more years of Obama, which I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I've actually thought things have went very well under the Obama campaign. So I think that that would be a good thing, but I don't like her as the person.
It's going to be so much
exactly,
worse.
Exactly.
And like if you would have said you would rather had Hillary, Trump will not be great at all. I hope we can minimize the damage, just like Congress being way smarter than Trump. But
see,
he's gonna do something. Yeah. Hillary is pandering to any audience she can get to.
Oh yeah,
she Pokemon Go to the polls. Like wherever she goes, she's changed her mind on stances so much just because she wants to.
That's
get the
seriousest thing that you can be.
Exactly,
and especially since she, I'd have to imagine, is one of the most bought politicians of at least our lifetime.
Like, okay, she is a good politician. She was Secretary of State. Those are all great things. She would not even be in the running if Bill Clinton was not her husband.
Yeah.
And she knows that.
Yeah,
she does.
Because that's why she pushes him so much at rallies
and
campaign
spots. Not only that, but, I mean...
Shout out to Bill Clinton.
First black president.
No. Yep.
He'll be a special guest next week.
Yep. I love the saxophone.
But no woman in her right mind would have stayed with him after the whole Monica Lewinsky thing.
No.
But she knew the political advantages to having him around.
Trophy husband.
His name, it's, you know, the Clinton name in and of itself means so much around this country that, you know, even after the fallout of Bill Clinton, so many people still loved him and respected him that they're like, okay, yeah, I mean, things went well under his tenure as president. Maybe his wife, you know, will be okay. But I just – a lot of the things that she's done have really bothered me.
And like, here's the thing. Trump may be an idiot. Trump
is
may
–
Trump – He's a very smart businessman. The fact if he has to do foreign,
he's polarizing.
Somebody tell me, is Ted Cruz the Zodiac killer?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
I think we all can.
And he killed Harambe. That's a fact.
It's true.
Harambe was going to testify against Hillary Clinton.
Did you see the picture of George Bush with Harambe when
he
was?
I did. I couldn't
reach.
Did you see the picture of Kevin from The Office and Ted Cruz?
They took it to one of his campaign spots.
Person.
Anyway, before we get, never mind. No, that
piece for okay. I wanna pitch my topic here. I mean, not my topic, my idea about like the presidency. So, how you were saying about the stalemate back and forth? I 100% agree with that because nothing ever gets done because we're always swapping between Democratic and Republican, either in Congress or as the president.
Yeah, and then they undo what the other was doing.
See, yes, but hang on. Let me finish. So
no.
Trump has ideas, which I respect. Mm-hmm. And 4 years from now, if it was the same situation, I think I would vote for him because he has a plan. But the only reason that I would vote for Hillary is because I like what Obama was doing. And I think 4 more years of nothing changing, so to say, to like an extreme, could help this country.
See, and I agree with that in a lot of ways. I think the reality is, regardless of which direction we go, if you vote Hillary Clinton into office, immediately the Republicans in Congress are going to try and get her impeached because of her email scandal.
Which is fair.
Absolutely 100% fair. So you're going to get nothing done then because
Congress won't be behind her. She won't be able to do anything.
But on the flip side, you've got Trump, who's too radical. And
he can't even win his own party.
Exactly. You're going to get nothing done regardless, and these next 4 years are going to be a wash. So it comes down to, do we waste our first woman president on Hillary Clinton, or do we have a bogus Oompa Loompa as our president?
But with small hands. Here's another point. I don't – if Hillary Clinton gets elected in – Trump is at least generally straightforward with what he's saying. I don't feel like getting lied to about everything that's going to happen.
Yeah, she will lie about everything.
I understand government's going to lie about some stuff because it just generally keeps us safer for some things. She will lie about almost anything, though.
But yeah. See, like, I feel like, especially in, like, this day and age, it's more of the president is just the face. They don't really make any decisions. Like Congress runs everything, and it's just yeah. I can't see things going well with Donald Trump being the face, and he's the one that's supposed to be our leader when other countries are looking at us. And so, like the other probably 3 months ago now, when North Korea, right? That's the one that hates us.
Yes.
North Korea.
They all hate us.
Declared war. And no one took it seriously because war is not going to happen just because of a stupid thing like that. But it won't get worse if you have someone like Barack Obama or just like a normal person in office. But now Donald Trump goes and says something stupid in like a speech about it, and then all of a sudden things could actually escalate to war.
That's the big negative I was actually going to say about Donald Trump is him doing foreign policy scares the shit out of me.
Yeah,
like he's like just a bomb ready to go off all the time, and I shouldn't have to be so scared every time he goes to another country.
Let's just have Canada be the emergency manager of the United States. They've done okay. I think they can run stuff.
Does anyone really hate Canada?
How can you?
Yeah, you just make fun of Canada. You don't hate Canada.
What is there to hate about them?
There's a little brother that you just pick on.
You just give him a little noogie. You call him up and they close at 5. So if you ever want to invade
Canada, they apologize for you giving them the noogie.
Yeah. They apologize for being closed.
I think they did.
Good.
By the way, Canada can close. Canada closes at 5.
1-800-O-CANADA. I just want to say this real quick. We harped a lot on Hillary, fairly, for being flip-flop, but it's not like Trump is exactly the most honest person ever. I mean, there's plenty of video compilations on Facebook of him saying completely
disparaging things. All we've got to do is get through these 4 years.
Oh.
Yeah. Get through these 4 years. Then we can elect Kanye. And finally, things will be okay.
Kim Kardashian, First Lady.
Ooh, it's fine.
It'll be great.
Interesting.
Jesus.
Who would be his VP? Jesus. There's a topic. Who would be Kanye's vice president?
If it's not Chance the Rapper, I'm really upset.
It wouldn't be Eminem, but I want it to be Eminem.
Jay-Z. Could he not make it Kendrick?
Yeah. I could.
Bipartisan. Because Chance is up and coming. He could be a good Secretary of State. But I don't think he has respect yet to be VP.
J. Cole?
Maybe.
This was so people want to disrespect him. 5 minutes ago. We were so serious.
Double platinum with no features.
Hey, I mean, the dude's got it.
He does got it.
I think Kanye's got a real, real shot.
The cabinet for Kanye. Vice President, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense. Who are you putting? Who's your big three, big four? I didn't count.
For Kanye?
For Kanye. Obviously, Ye is the president.
Yeah, sure. Man,
I think Eminem is a shoo-in for Secretary of Defense.
Yeah,
growing up in the mean streets of South,
he would just rap battle anyone who gets in our way.
Yeah,
be like, oh man, that hurt my feelings.
See, but do we worry about Eminem being too trigger happy?
No,
I think that'd be Lil Wayne.
I think he's more reserved now. He's matured. I think we actually talked.
He's like
about
44,
this.
Right?
Yeah,
he looks like he's 26. His own household.
Yep.
Well,
he also
can't
is
have
off
Frank
drugs
because he'll disappear for 3 years.
Yeah, but he made a vicious comeback and
that's
dropped some straight fire.
He said he was gonna drop his album like 4 times, and then he just disappeared.
Okay, yeah, talk to J. Cole and Kendrick about that.
God, I want that album. I want it to be a thing so bad. But, okay, then that kind of makes an irreliability thing right there. So we've agreed Secretary of Defense will definitely 100% be Eminem.
Look at that. The five white guys giving the first position to a white guy. Proud of us.
Where's Colin Kaepernick at?
Yeah. That's it. We have to retire right there. We officially reached white peak.
All right. So, I mean, if we're going that route, can we make VP Lil Dicky?
Oh my God, yes.
Because I've wanted VP to be more like Joe Biden, I think it would be Lil Dicky.
He needs to run the Treasury because he's going to save that money.
Oh my God. Perfect. Yes. There you go.
Thanks for listening.
Ray J, Vice President?
No! Don't do it.
Oh, man.
What are your parting words? Your final shot.
I really hope the Harambe memes don't die out anytime soon.
I don't think they ever will.
They can't.
He's in our hearts.
They shan't.
Rip, big guy.
Okay. Nick Peel, final thoughts.
Brad Tunney, I miss you, and I'll see you next week.
Oh, my God. Get over Brad Tunney.
He's a great guy, Matt. Meet him.
Justin Gore, final thoughts.
I have a great final thought.
Oh, here we go. What's your final thought, Matt? We've given you a bit of time.
You have. You really have. If Harambe was still alive, I would vote him for president.
There it is. Starting quarterback of the Broncos as well. And my final thought for this evening, which will be one of the main topics on next week's show, and something that I have argued for and passionately over the last, year and a half, maybe 2 years now, North Dakota and South Dakota should 100% absolutely be one state. And I will go to my grave saying this, and this is something that I've actually written a report for Matt about that I have argued with him, and he said there's absolutely no way that can be a thing. I said, watch this. Grinded it out in about an hour.
Turn my back on for a second.
Turn my mic back on.
I would like to point out to North Dakota, it's really bad that you're not even the best Dakota.
Oh.
There's nothing in
you. Just join South Dakota. You guys will still suck, but you'll at least be the best Dakota.
And like I said, I will 100% bring out my thesis, lay it down on the table, put it out for you and maybe the audience if it's there to argue with. Do what you want with it, but that's just my feelings.
If there's anything I've learned the past few days, Tails never fails.
Tails never fails. Six in a row, baby. Except we did find the missing coin from last night, and it was heads. Yep. So Matt Feinauer should have been chopping potato or making bacon last night. Chopping potatoes, that was my job. All right, well, this is the first episode of A1 and the A10. We will see you next time. We thank you for joining us here in our apartment.